First lesson is in Genesis 9, 18 through 17. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, every beast of the earth with you. And as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant that I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the psalm is on page 4, Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And the moon and the stars to rule over the night.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Second lesson is from Ephesians 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized Jesus and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the kids that are present to come forward for a children's message. Attaboy. Scarlett, you know Ezra, right? You know Ezra? Hi, Maddie. Maddie brought her friend with again. That's good. Thank you, Maddie. Yeah? Good. Good to have you guys all here tonight. Yes. Well, some of you were here last week, and I had a little friend with me called Lammy, right? Doc McStuffins has a real special friend in her life named Lammy. And you probably noticed that tonight in the gospel reading, it said that Jesus' disciples were afraid. And there are things in life that make us afraid. Like I don't care for snakes or spiders, for example. Or there's a friend of mine named Arnie. He's in the hospital, and he got bit by one of those deer ticks. Have you ever heard of those things? And then you get Lyme disease from them. So there are things that get us frightened or make us afraid. Are you afraid of the dark? Do you remember what Lammy was afraid of? If you've ever seen Doc McStuffins? She's afraid that Doc is going to abandon her or replace her with another friend, another stuffed animal, right? But will Doc McStuffins ever do that? No. So she doesn't have to be afraid. The disciples are in a boat. They're on the water. You like the water? You like the water? You like to swim in the water? Yeah. You like to drink water? Yeah. Yeah? Water, right? But sometimes I'm afraid of the water. You know why? If my feet can't touch the bottom, what if all of a sudden I swallowed water or I got a cramp in my leg, and if I was swimming alone, I'd be in trouble, right? You see, water can be dangerous, and those disciples, they're out in a boat, and it says that the wind is against them, and all of a sudden they see Jesus, and do you remember how he comes to them? He's walking on what? Water. I can walk on water, you know. Did you know that? In the wintertime in Minnesota, when the lake is frozen, I can walk on top of water too. But that's not what Jesus was doing, is it? No, he was with the wind and the waves. He was walking on the water because he's the Lord of everyone and everything. But the disciples thought that they saw a ghost, and they were afraid until Jesus said, "Ego eimi, I'm God." That's what he was telling them. He said, "You don't have to be afraid. I'm God. I'm your God. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you and keep you safe." Just like a good shepherd takes care of his or her sheep, right? Yeah? Just like you saw just a few minutes ago, you saw little Everly. She got in the water and got in the word, and she became a lamb of God's flock. And Jesus became her good shepherd, so she doesn't have to be afraid of the water like the flood of Noah, right? Right? Baptism saves us as God unites us to the word of Jesus and his love and his forgiveness and the gift of faith. Now, let me ask you a question. What am I doing right now? What am I doing? I'm what? I'm walking. Some of you might walk a dog, right? Or you might walk with a little kid in their hands, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? So what am I doing? I am water walking. You see? Because I have a bottle. Walk! Walk! Oh, it can't do it by itself. But you see how I can water walk? Huh? Now, Now what am I doing? Water walking, that's right, because the water got inside of me, right? Yeah, but God's got something better for you, for Ezra, and for Everly. He puts living water inside of us. Do you know what the living water is? Do you know who the living water is? You don't know? Tell them. Huh?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. He's the living water. And he gets inside of us so that everywhere we walk, we're water walking. We're walking with the Word of God, with Jesus, the living water, and every time we walk somewhere, we're taking Jesus with us. That's what little Everly is doing. She may be small, but she's a water walker, just like you. She's walking with the living water of Jesus. I want you to pray with me. I'll say a couple words and you repeat after me, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I don't need to be afraid. I'm a water walker. Thanks for giving me your living water. Amen. Thanks for coming up, you guys. Don't forget, after church tonight, we got a special cake in honor of Everly's baptism. Grandma and Grandpa, great, huh? Yes. Good, good. It's easy to walk around with a glass of water or a bottle of water. It is. It's easy. Right, Scott? It's a lot harder to walk around with living water, with the glory of God, with the presence of Jesus, and taking His love and His mercy and His forgiveness everywhere we go. Life can be hard, challenging, full of difficulties. Our gospel reading for tonight says that when Jesus commanded the disciples to get into a boat and to go across the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, it says that he saw that they were straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And they were making headway painfully. You can feel it, can't you? Maybe you've never been in the midst of a storm where the wind was against you, where the waves were making it painfully difficult to move the oars. But those are the disciples of Jesus. The ones who are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Jesus warned his disciples. He said, "Whoever would come after me must take up their cross, deny themselves daily, and follow me." To be a water walker, walking with the Word of God, Jesus, walking with the living water of Christ, crucified and risen, does not immune us from life's difficulties, heartaches, and sorrows. One of my favorite hymns, penned by Horatio Spofford, contains these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Horatio Spofford, you know the name? In the 1860s in Chicago, he was a man of faith, but also a man of great wealth. He had all kinds of property on Lake Michigan in Chicago in the late 1860s. And then you know what happened in 1871? The Chicago fire. And he lost all of his holdings. He went from great wealth, well, to little or nothing. But he still had his faith, and he still had his Lord Jesus Christ. And he set about with his faith to help rebuild that community, the city of Chicago, and especially to care for those who were the most vulnerable, those who were homeless. 1871, the Chicago Fire. 2 years later, he decided that he and his family were going to take a trip over to Europe. He, his wife, four little daughters. And so he made the arrangements. They were going to go to England so that he could hear D.L. Moody. He was doing an evangelism meeting there in England. But all of a sudden, at the last minute, a pressing business matter came up, and Horatio wasn't able to go, so he said to his wife, "You go ahead, we've got the tickets, you take the four girls, and I'll come as soon as I can." 1873, and another ship hit that vessel. It sunk in 12 minutes. 273 passengers, only 47 people survived. Horatio's wife, Mrs. Spofford, she was clinging, half conscious, half unconscious, to a piece of driftwood from the sunken ship. And then she telegrammed her husband and said, "I alone am saved. What should I do?" And they had lost their four little ones. Horatio got on a ship, headed over there, and in the Atlantic Ocean, when they got over the spot where the ship had gone down, the captain said to Horatio Spofford, "This is the spot." And that's where he penned the words, "It is well. God's will be done." With tears, with faith, the words that we have, "For it is well with my soul." Life is hard, difficult, challenging. I just went to see Arnie today. He's up there because his kidneys aren't functioning well, and because he's a farmer, he was out there and he got a tick bite, you know, and he got Lyme's disease, and we're not supposed to get that stuff, right? I mean, aren't we supposed to have some kind of immunization because we got Jesus, because we got baptized? I mean, sometimes people think this is just about hocus pocus, you know? That's not the case. There's water in here, and water is dangerous, especially when you're little. It's really dangerous. Don't ever leave a child in the tub alone, unattended, right? They can drown in a teaspoon of water. It should not surprise us that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ, that life is challenging and it's difficult, and that Satan is going to do everything within his power to mess with us and to drive us crazy. That's why God puts us into a faith community. That's why God gives us God parents, so that we've got others with mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and others in the community of faith to parent us in the ways of God, so that even with tears in our eyes, we can sing those words with Horatio, "It is well with my soul." We look not to the things that are temporary, but to the things that are eternal. That's why Paul, when he's writing about the amazing grace of God to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "You know, you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand from the foundation of the world, that you should walk in them." He's talking about water walking. He's talking about living water, Jesus walking. Every day, living out our baptism and walking for the praise and glory of God. You heard in chapter 3 when he ends this part on doctrine, and now he's going to move to duty, or from believing to behaving. He has a doxology. And he says, "Now to him who is able to accomplish far more, exceedingly great than we can even think or imagine, our God is able, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen." I mean, this is just amazing, this grace of God that has been bestowed upon us. And you witnessed it again. I mean, this is a theophany. In our gospel reading, did you catch that phrase that said, he meant to pass by them? I mean, that phrase bothered me a little bit because I don't like it when it sounds like Jesus is just ignoring me, right? I don't like it when Jesus ignores me. And I think, so he commands the disciples to get into the boat and to go to the other side. He's staying on the land. They're in the boat, and they're having a difficult time. The wind is against them, right? And Jesus got them into that mess. He commanded them to get in the boat, and they're just obeying as good disciples. And then it says that he sees how they're struggling, right, as they're rowing those oars, and he means to pass by them. He's determined to pass by them. Oh, but here's what that word means. He's not ignoring them. You know what he's doing? The Greek word for passing by is the same word used in the Old Testament, the Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint, for a theophany. It's the same word that is used when God puts Moses into the cleft of a rock and passes by him so that he can see his glory, his presence and his power. It's the same word when Elijah is on the mountain and God passes in this sheer silence. This is a theophany. This is the glory of God. This is his power and his presence. So when Jesus is determined to pass by you, he's not ignoring you. He's showing you his power. He's giving you his presence, and you are beholding his glory. This Jesus, the one who took his disciples on a retreat, this Jesus who, when he saw the crowds who were like sheep without a shepherd, because that's something to be afraid of, he says, you are like sheep. You don't have a shepherd. I'll take care of that. Ego eimi. I'll be your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You see? He feeds them. The disciples, they can't see. They can't see who he is. Those who are chosen and called, baptized into his kingdom, we don't always see who he is. Even though he passes by us, he passes by us and shows and reveals his glory, his power, and his presence. We don't always see it, but the crowds, they get it. Did you notice that? The disciples say, yeah, but we've only got 5 loaves. We've only got 2 fish. And Jesus says, it's enough already. He feeds them all. They're all satisfied. And what happens? 12 baskets of leftovers. Did you see how our gospel reading ended today? Jesus gets into the boat with them after he says, ego eimi. That's the God of the burning bush. That's God's personal name. He says, I'm God. I'm here for you. He gets in the boat, and immediately the wind is no longer against them. The wind, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God is with them and in them. And they get to shore. And all the crowds immediately recognize Jesus. And they go and tell all their family and friends, you got anybody who's sick? You got anybody in the hospital? You got anybody who's near death? Get them out here. Because all they have to do is have faith in Jesus. If they believe, like that woman who had the flow of blood for 12 years, like Jairus, his 12-year-old daughter, who had died in her bed, and Jesus said, no, she's sleeping. If they have faith to be healed, they could be saved. And you saw it again. You saw it tonight, right? Right here. God revealing himself and his grace and his glory, just like he did in the midst of the turbulent sea. When the disciples beheld the grace and the glory of Almighty God. It's that kind of faith that even when the bottom drops out, even when there's a duck boat incident in Missouri, and 9 members out of 11 of one family die, but do not perish because they have faith in Jesus. There's a difference between dying and perishing. 9 people from one family died in a terrible accident. But by the grace of God, by faith in Jesus, the Lord didn't ignore them. Even in the midst of that moment of death, He passed by those people of faith. And He showed them His glory by giving them the gift of the resurrection. That's what Everly received tonight. The death of Jesus. The cross. But also the rising of Jesus. You see, mom and dad, they want to protect kids, right? I know what that feels like. I want to protect my kids. But no matter how hard you work, Andrew, no matter how hard you work, Larissa, you can't protect her from harm's way. You can try, but the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life. And so tonight, you saw what they did. What they can't do as a mom and a dad, they surrendered little Everly back into the hands of her master, her Lord, her good shepherd, her Savior, because no harm can come to her now. She's going to be raised in the faith of Jesus. And she'll be able to say with people like Horatio, "It is well with my soul." You want to know what it means to be a water walker? Pay attention to the living water in the life of little Everly. Read a story yesterday about a 21-year-old. His name is Walter Carr. Walter Carr. Maybe you read the story. 21 years old. Homewood, Alabama. Had a job, had to report on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for Bellhop Moving Company. And the night before, his car breaks down. He goes to bed at 8 o'clock, gets up at 12 o'clock midnight, and he starts walking. He's a man of faith, 21 years old. He starts water walking. He gets about 10 miles, and it's probably about 4 o'clock in the morning, and 3 police officers find him and kind of wondering what he's up to. He explains why he's out walking in the dark of night. He's on his way to a job. They take him into a restaurant and they buy him breakfast. And then one of the cops takes him over to the house of Jenny Lamy, the mother, the family with the kids. They're the ones that they're supposed to pack up and move. It's 6:30 in the morning, and the police officer says, "I have to drop him off here," explained his circumstances, that Walter is walking 20 miles because he's got a job and he's got no car, and he started at midnight. Can he stay here until 8 o'clock when the rest of the crew shows up? And Jenny said, "I just burst into tears. This is like the poster child for no excuses, you know?" And then she said, why don't you let me get you some food? Or I've got a couch here. Why don't you just rest until 8 o'clock when the others arrive?" And he said, no, let's get to work. Let's get to work. You see, that's what water walkers do. They say, "Let's get to work. I got eternity to rest. But right now, let's get to work," right? And then throughout the day, as they're loading everything up, when the rest of the crew came, Walter is visiting with Jenny's kids and stuff, and they find out, he said, "Mom, do you know this guy's story? Do you know about Walter? When he was 5 years old, he and his mom lost everything in New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina, and they moved here. Did you know that he's going to get his associate degree at the end of the year, and then he's going to be going into basic training for the Marines?" This is an amazing story of someone who is determined by the grace of God to live in faith and faithfully, no matter what kind of storms or winds might be against him. It's amazing. And so you know what Jenny did? She got a GoFundMe page started to try to get some dollars to help repair Walter's car. And then she got a hold of Luke Marklin, who's the CEO of the moving company, Bellhops. And so the CEO calls Walter and says, I'm going to drive up from Tennessee to Homewood, Alabama, and I want to take you out to lunch. And so Walter had to walk 30 minutes to get there, to meet this big CEO. And when he gets there, he's surprised to see that Jenny and her husband and all the kids are there, and the three police officers are there too. And then this Luke Marklin, he looks at Walter and says, you're what this company is about sharing the love of Jesus with God's people, even as we pack up and help them move. And then he pulled the keys out for his Ford Escape, 2018, and handed it and said, I'll find another way home. This vehicle is yours now. And Jenny said, it's just amazing to see someone who has such deep faith. She said, whenever I face any difficulties in life, I'm going to remember Walter. He's been a blessing to me. And when they asked Walter about it, he said, you know, God bless me. I guess it's a good thing when he can use me to bless others. Water walking. Now to him who can do abundantly, exceedingly, far more than we can even begin to ask or imagine. To him be the glory in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.